it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hi there, welcome to Steve Bloomer's Washing, your independent Derby County fans podcast. At the end of another busy, dramatic week for the Rams, which leaves us six unbeaten by my count across all competitions. I am Richard Cutcher, and with me today is Anton Martin. Anton's fresh from a nervy World Cup T20 final.
Yeah, hey Catch. Well, not quite the relaxing Sunday morning that we normally like, but what a win in the end. Feels a bit weird to start a podcast after a 3-1 win in Milton Keynes with cricket, but you can't really do much else when you've just won a world final, can you?
No, exactly not. And stepping in for his SBW pod debut is Chris Smith, also a big cricket fan and also known as C Space Ram on Twitter and his own Derby County blog. Welcome, Chris.
Hey Rich, how you doing?
Good, really good to have you on. The few times I do have the pleasure of bumping into Chris, it is usually in Derby Brewing Company's tap house on Derwent Street, and Steve Burns Washing is delighted to be supported by DBC for another season. So do get down there or any other of their five great venues across the city and county. There is a lot to unpack from the past 7 days, of course, but Chris, you were at both Stadium MK and Anfield. I think a combined 12,000 odd away supporters across the two games, which is pretty impressive. As far as back-to-back away experiences go, Chris, where does kind of that Wednesday-Saturday combo stand for you?
Well, I was thinking about that when you mentioned it, and obviously it's easy to throw up kind of, you know, individual, you know, big away days. I think back-to-back, I mean, I suppose the most recent one I'd throw up was probably, and I actually mentioned this on Twitter before the game as a bit of a, you know, red flag really, was when we beat United away in the Lampard season, and we had a very winnable, nice away trip to Bolton, which again, new stadium, nice away end, and they were doing awful at the time. And I don't think we took the numbers, obviously, that we took to these two games, but I remember those two, and obviously we fell flat on the face at Bolton, so it was nice to get the job done yesterday.
Yeah, and I think I saw that tweet you said, you know, it'd be a kind of a warning sign, and I felt a bit the same going into yesterday's match. Did it might just be a step too far, which is a bit of the cliche. MK had put a bit of a run together after starting the season poorly, but it was ultimately a professional job getting those 3 points and continuing a little bit of a run now in the league. And it was, of course, I think the most important game of the three matches in the last week, with the FA Cup game, the League Cup game, and then the league game. I think our focus has to be on the league this season. But Derby did win against Milton Keynes 3-1, having gone behind. Goals from Hayden Roberts, James Collins, and Nathaniel Mendes-Lang put the Rams into the playoff places at the end of the day. But it didn't start great. An open first half looked like it would end with Derby going in behind after MK broke straight from our corner with Louis Barry rounding Wildsmith to capitalise on some poor defending. We'll get the negative out of the way first, because there's lots of positives obviously to come to, Anton. Are we always, when I saw that break from our corner, I kind of wondered, are we always that open from our own corners? Or was it just a case of a bit of a freak, Corey Smith getting sucked in, beaten a bit too easily? Anton, how did you view that goal we conceded?
Yeah, it's quite an interesting one. So, I mean, when I saw it, it's easy to go a little bit over the top on reaction to that kind of goal. But I actually watched some of our other corners back after that, because it's the first time I've noticed us being that open from one of our own corners. But we're consistently getting seven players into the box, plus another one on the edge, and obviously another one taking the corner. So we're only keeping one man back, and that ultimately is going to lead to the odd chance for the opposition. But you kind of balance that with the fact that we're getting loads of men into the box and looking much more dangerous from corners. We obviously scored from a corner yesterday. And I think it's just a tactical risk that the coaching staff must have put in place. Yes, we could have defended that situation much better, I think, yesterday. But as a one-off, hopefully it kind of leads to more goals for than it will against.
Yeah, we'll come on to a goal scored from a set piece in a second, obviously. I think I've noticed before that, yeah, Corey Smith is back and Nathaniel Mendes-Lang is often kind of somewhat, he's not normally in the box himself. He's normally just outside the box picking up pieces, and he's obviously quick to recover on the counter-attack. But yeah, we're getting men into the box. And over on the cross side of that, when we're defending set pieces, Paul Warren is very passionate about we have everyone back, you know, either in the box or on the edge of our box as well. So he probably sees it as a risk willing to take, as you say, Anton. Chris, when that break did materialise, when we lost the ball from the corner, was it obvious to you from the away end looking at it that we were in trouble pretty quickly?
It was weird because it took a long time because he ran from he was through from almost in his own half. So
yeah,
it was quite an odd thing that you don't see very often where someone's running on your goal from such a long way out. And I think based on recent history, my main thing was like, don't take him out, you know, because I was fully expecting someone to take him out or Wildsmith to take him out and penalty, red card, and like, oh my word, here we go again. But weirdly, you know, Louis Barry's a good player. So it was almost like the better of two evils that he actually went, you know, put it away and didn't even blink, did he? But
yeah,
quite an interesting team, MK, really, in without, you know, going way off topic. But as I say, they've got some interesting players, haven't they? With, you know, Will Grigg and Louis Barry and McEachran and Issa the sub, who, you know, was recently, you know, a big signing for Peterborough. And in the final third, and they look really sharp. But, you know, kind of midfield, they were average. And I think defensively, they were bad. And they were trying to play, I'll call it Rossignol ball, but we'll no doubt talk about that later on. But they were that type of passing out. We took the ball off them three times in the first 10 minutes from their goal kicks and could have made more of it. But yeah, Louis Barry, good player. And I think him going off actually was a thing as well. I don't know if he was injured or if it was a tactical switch, but yeah, he was certainly lively.
Yeah, I was impressed with MK Dons yesterday, to be honest. I don't think we've faced too many better opposition so far in League One this season. And their position fourth from bottom at the moment is certainly a false one, I would say. And I would be surprised if they don't shoot up the table fairly quickly if they continue to perform in that way. Because, I mean, certainly first half, it was very even. We could have easily gone in a goal down into half time, which might have made the second half quite a different story. So they were a good side. And, I mean, the fact that we looked so assured after going a goal down and came back to win fairly comfortably in the end. Obviously, it helped getting a goal immediately after their first one, but it's testament to how Paul Warren set us up, both kind of away from home and once we go a goal down. Because I don't think under previous managers over the last few years we'd have looked that comfortable.
No, absolutely. And I think you're right, Chris, to highlight that the pressing was definitely the play very early in the game. I think Paul Warren's game plan probably would have been to try and nick something or put a seed of doubt in their mind early on, because we did have a bit of success pressing, and a few half chances came from it. I think naturally that kind of, we probably suffered a bit from the week we've had, probably didn't continue that throughout the whole game. And obviously we didn't need to do it as much in the second half once we got the lead. But as you say, Anton, we Derby reacted immediately from going behind. Hayden Roberts getting his first goal for the Rams, towering over everyone and emphatically getting on the end of a Harahan corner. I was quite pleased for Hayden Roberts, because also his name is actually the same name, Hayden. Hayden the Womble is the AFC Wimbledon mascot, who I've had the pleasure of interviewing before. So that's a nice little dig there at the MK. I don't call them the Dons because they shouldn't be called the Dons, but it was nice for Hayden Roberts to get his first goal. How much of a lift, Chris, did that give to the away end? And whereabouts were you sat, Chris, in the away end? What was your view of the game?
Yeah, I was sat kind of upper tier, sort of towards the big scoreboard. So if you sat behind the goal, like you're looking at the goals to my right, underneath us. So we were pretty much above, you know, when you saw all the mad celebrations for the third goal in the corner, we were pretty much above that. But yeah, I mean, that equalising so quickly was key, really, because we'd also just had that goal ruled out which I still don't see how that was ruled out, but and I've watched it back a couple of times. But yeah, I think that just took the wind out of their sails a little bit, didn't it? And cliche, but gave us a little booster going into half time. And we weren't terrible. I mean, I read a few things online where, you know, when I got home, where obviously people had gone a bit early on Twitter and like, oh, I miss Liam Rossignol and this is woeful. And what,
yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. And I, you know, and I was like, well, yeah, he got rid of all of that. And as I said, if there was any hangover from kind of the Liverpool game, that gave you that second wind, and it sort of got us in on an even keel. We didn't deserve to be behind, I don't think. And, you know, I know Wild Smith had a couple of good saves earlier on, and it gave Warner a better platform, I think, to implement something in the second half, because obviously if it's 1-0 and he tries to go on the front foot, you leave yourself open, and you go 2-0 down, then you've definitely got a problem. So, I would say it was pivot. It was cracking header as well. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw someone, you know, head the ball that hard, like across the keeper, you know, like sort of take it away from the goalie into the other side net. You know, normally people are running in and just heading it the way they're running or straight forward. And I just thought the power he got on that to head it across the keeper, it was, it was a cracker. That was a really good header.
Yeah, I thought both him and Collins's finishes were actually pretty maybe underrated in the moment. I think when Roberts is, I was watching on Ram TV because I was obviously in Thailand yesterday. And when Hayden Roberts knocked that ball in from the corner, Owen Bradley seemed quite surprised it had gone in, actually. It was a bit of a delayed reaction, because I think you're right, it did kind of go the opposite way to where you might expect it to go. But he manages to get on top of like three MK players in the crowd, and it was really a real good physical effort, I think, to even get onto the end of it, let alone power it into the back of the goal. And I thought, Anton, that our set piece delivery, mostly from Conor Hourihan, was pretty good all game, actually. And I thought it's nice to see us consistently threatening from those situations across the last two games. I think Louis Sibley's been good on set pieces recently. I think Max Bird's a bit hit or miss, but I thought Conor Hourihan had a really good day from the dead ball situations.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. We've been much more threatening in recent games, and yesterday was a good example of that. Actually, the only one which wasn't a good delivery probably led to their goal, to be honest. But we did threaten. Obviously, there was the Dobbin disallowed goal, which Chris mentioned a moment ago, which was quite a nicely worked kind of short corner routine, and the Roberts goal as well. It kind of comes back to both the delivery being good, but also the point I made earlier around getting a number of men into the box, which just causes a bit of chaos, causes a bit of panic in the defence, and creates those opportunities like the one we saw of James Collins a couple of weeks ago. It's hard to pick up seven men in the box when you kind of got little routines, you've got a decent delivery from Hourihan, and it's nice to see us actually scoring goals from corners for once.
Yeah, on that Dobbin disallowed goal, Anton, what was your view on it? Chris said he's not sure why it was disallowed. I haven't really seen a good angle or a good replay to kind of tell one way or the other. There's a still that I think Dom Dietrich from BBC Derby Sport posted where Dobbin appears to be offside just before the ball was crossed in. That doesn't necessarily mean he was offside when it was. I wondered at the time if it was actually Conor Hourihan who was offside in the build-up when it came back to him from the short corner.
That's interesting. I didn't actually look at that. I must have seen it about 10 to 12 times and couldn't really decisively say either way whether it was offside, to be honest. It's a marginal one, and the camera angle that we get, and also it's very much kind of off camera when Hourihan's about to step up, so it's quite difficult to see. So it's one of those that can go either way. I wouldn't really spend much time moaning about it too much, because you get some of those and you don't get others.
Well, we don't get most of them, but the other linesman did, however, try to rule out James Collins's goal, but thankfully the referee spotted it. It was in fact Bradley Johnson who had nodded on Derby's set piece, and it was a really brilliant kind of swivel volleyed finish from Collins on his left foot, Chris. Was that the biggest limbs of the day? Biggest limbs of the day for Collins' goal, or biggest limbs of the day for Nathaniel Mendes-Lang?
No, I think Mendes-Lang was biggest limbs of the day, because Collins was a bit of an odd one, because it was almost like a bit of a VAR, accelerate, because he sort of scored, the liner put his flag up, everyone saw it, and then the ref overruled him, so it was like a kind of an exaggerated or accelerated, whatever the right word is, VAR kind of situation. position.
Yeah.
But Collins actually did one that probably got a little bit lost in the post. But just before the penalty, the second penalty incident at Morecambe, there was one where Collins did something similar from further out where he kind of swiveled at an angle and smashed it against the bar, didn't he? For just before the second pen incident, which would have been an absolute worldie if he'd have put that one in. So he's obviously got agility and a bit of dexterity in the area, as well as all his other, his kind of rough and tumble antics. But yeah, it was cracking finish. Yeah, as you say, at the game, I probably didn't realise how good a finish it was, But yeah, when I saw it back, it was a really smart one.
It was just instinctive, wasn't it? I think, Anton, he kind of jumped straight onto it. And that kind of a sign of a man who absolutely is bang in form.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's probably the only person in the Derby team who could have scored that goal, to be honest, because kind of coming over his shoulder on his left foot, really nice finish. And yeah, as you say, shows a man in form. It was good refereeing, actually. I'd like to call out a bit of good refereeing. It doesn't happen very often. The easy call would have been to agree with the linesman and rule that one out. So it's nice to see them actually get something right and it go in our favour for once.
Well, thankfully, the referee obviously was concentrating and looking at the ball and would have clearly seen Bradley Johnson make contact with it for it to go back across. The linesman, you can understand the linesman. His view, he probably can't see who knocked it on, right? But as you say, Anton, it's the referee did notice it and was, I guess, I don't know if brave is the right way to put it, but was brave enough to actually overrule it and let scenes continue. So then, of course, you've got the goal from the big man to seal things off, Nathaniel Mendes-Lang. I know that this new chant has gone viral about Nathaniel Mendes-Lang. I quite like it. The thing I most like about it is it actually says his full name, because he's one of those players that you do have to full name him for some reason, Nathaniel Mendes-Lang. It's never just Mendes-Lang. It's always Nathaniel Mendes-Lang. So, really good goal from Nathaniel Mendes-Lang. Was it the directness that really made that goal, Anton? Because we see that he's always ready to beat his man. He got a good return ball from Max Bird and he just kept driving towards the goal.
I think there were probably a few tired legs in the Milton Keynes back line, to be honest. And I mean, I'll come back to Mendes-Lang in a minute, but actually I thought it might have been the first time that we've seen the benefits of Paul Warne's kind of fitness regime, because first half they did match us more or less, and second half we looked a completely different team, and I think that was largely down to the energy that we had, that extra bit of intensity, and the fact that MK tired in the second half, and that goal was a really good example of that. But it was a brilliant goal all round. It was a really swift counter. Mendes-Lang doing what he does best. Nice little exchange of passes with, I think it was Bird in the middle. And how about that for a turn from a big man? I described it as sensual in our Discord channel, which I think is, I still stand by that one. It was a very, very lovely turn and a brilliant finish as well. I saw a really good video of the fans last night celebrating that goal, which was the main story from that video. But it was perfectly in line with the finish, and it's easy to overlook that it was a really tight angle, and he had a defender and the goalkeeper to beat from that angle, and he finished it with aplomb. So it was a really good finish after a really good run and turn from the big man.
Chris, when was the last time you saw a winger that is just so consistently going to beat the fullback or beat his man? I'm struggling to think. I'm probably going back to Steve McLaren days with one of those wingers, but I don't know. You just kind of expect him now and urge him on to go every single time at the fullback, don't you?
Definitely one of those guys when the ball goes to him, you're on your seat. I mean, I suppose, I think probably Jordan Ibe, perhaps someone like that, because he's got that
in his first mill.
Yeah, because he's probably got that foot. He's got the similar kind of pace plus physicality. I quite like Patrick Roberts. I enjoyed his little cameos. He was one, a guy, when he got the ball, you kind of went, oh, here we go, because you thought he could go past someone, but obviously he just didn't have the physicality. But Mendes-Lang, like Ibe's first spell, he was unplayable at times. And I feel like at this level, Mendes-Lang's similar. I mean, I've got to just give a quick shout to Max Bird on that goal, because again, what probably may or may not have come across the TV, when the ball comes inside to Bird from Mendes-Lang's initial burst, we've got massive overload on the back post. There was Asula, McGoldrick, possibly not Roberts. Maybe Sibley was just sort of looming behind them as well.
Thompson, maybe.
Yeah, and we had a massive overload. And the obvious ball was for him to roll it out to Didzy, who would then roll it to Asulu, who would then roll it in the net. But yeah, just having the bravery and the confidence in Mendes Lang to you know, play that vertical ball into him. And it reminded me a little bit of his Plymouth goal, you know, where he got the ball in a massive ruck of players and just kind of pirouetted and nobody could do anything about it. And but yeah, I mean, as Anton just said there, and again, it's one of those things you don't appreciate it so much at the game, but similar to the Collins goal, I didn't realise what a good finish it was until, because I just thought he'd turn the guy at the game open, the old goal up, and just thrashed it home. And then when you saw it played back, he actually had quite a lot to do, didn't he, with the finish? But he he tucked it away, and all was well in the world.
Yeah, I just think he's unplayable at times in this division, and that's why I never want to see him playing right wing back. I just think he gets the ball way too deep. We want him to be getting the ball in the final third, or at least in their half, and he's our biggest threat from open play for me completely. So he needs to keep getting into those positions, and hopefully Paul Warne will keep getting him into those positions. A few other points in the game in general then. Jake Rooney's league debut. I thought he looked a little bit nervous possibly in the early stages, and there were a couple of tentative interventions, but broadly did not put a foot wrong. I think he won quite a big towering header in the lead up to Nathaniel Mendes Lang's goal. Actually, it was his header in the box that won it and went to Corey Smith, and then Corey Smith then released him. But I thought broadly he had a really good game, Anton. What was your view of him?
Yeah, I think it was a really assured performance. As you say, there were a couple of nervy and potential naive moments, giving away a couple of free kicks which were slightly questionable, but maybe with a bit more experience you might not give the referee a decision to make with some of those. But generally I thought it was as league debuts go for centre halves, I thought it was brilliant. As you say, he made some really important interventions in the box, made a few really good tackles and blocks and headers, and looked like he'd been playing for 20 games, to be honest, and it's really nice to have that option at centre back. We've discussed the limited options that we have currently, but it's nice that we don't have to rely on all our OAPs week in, week out with this busy schedule. Talking of Rooney, I wanted to shout out Fozzie as well, because I thought he was absolutely superb yesterday. Sean Barker actually gave him man of the match, which I totally agreed with. He's been brilliant since he came in a few games ago. I think that's his fourth straight league start. And given the situation and the fact that he's playing centre half, and he was the senior pro leading someone on his league debut yesterday, he's been superb.
Yeah, Chris, where do you stand on the centre-back options we've got at the moment? Because it seems to me like Paul Warne doesn't really fancy Stearman. He's put Jake Rooney in ahead of him this weekend. As Anton said, Craig Forsyth was brilliant yesterday. He's been, I think, very assured the last few games at centre-back. He obviously has played there before, but looks to me like he's grown into that role even more than previously. Presumably, Aaron Cashin should be coming straight back into the team on Tuesday night and back in the league next Saturday. Presuming we haven't still got Curtis Davis and James Chester for a while. So, Chris, how do you kind of assess the centre-back options?
Well, I thought that we'll go through them. I mean, I saw Stearman play two or three times in pre-season, and I thought he'd look done. He struggled, and immediately when I saw him, I just thought this is maybe a season too far. And I think the fact that he's figured so much less than he did last year probably tells you that people are seeing that on the training ground as well. So he seems to be, you know, chief cheerleader now and defensive coach, because he started warming the defenders up before the game as well, Stearman has. So he gets involved in that. And but yeah, Rooney I think is interesting as well, because again, he played really well in the two Carling Cup games, Mansfield away and West Brom at home. He played really well. In fact, Adoro as well. Adoro had a bit of a mare at Mansfield, but played brilliant against West Brom. But I just thought Warne didn't fancy either of them, because, you know, it's well documented the team's sizes is being stretched. And, you know, some people are, you know, he openly talks about people he needs to give people a rest, but he can't. But then he has them two sat there and they never get a sniff, do they? You know, and I just thought, well, he didn't fancy him. But then, as I say, fair play, he played well. I don't know if you heard Richie Barker's piece afterwards, but they actually said they put him in because he was amazing in training on Thursday. And Richie Barker was saying it's not something we do very often, but he said he's a good guy and, you know, it's sort of, you know, he turns up every day and he does his thing and blah, blah, blah. And he said on training on Thursday, he just, we felt like he'd just stepped up a level and we just sat in the meeting and just said, let's give him a whirl. So it was almost like he got in almost by default, even on Saturday. But yeah, he's got something about him for sure. It's he's a decent player. But yeah, I've got to agree with Anton. Foz was, I think Foz at Liverpool and yesterday was unreal. You know, just it actually suits him, I think, with Warne's sort of style of play. Obviously, he, again, well documented. He said himself, fullback's the hardest position to play for in my teams because you need to be up and down, up and down. And obviously, Foz is at a certain stage of his career. You know, I think he looks great at centre-back, I've got to say. And as controversially as Kurt looked the same player this season, I'm not sure he has. You know, I'll cut him a little bit of slack and say, you know, he's never really quite got going because of his injuries and what have you. But I certainly haven't seen him as the dominant force when he has played that he was before. And you know, for me, Foz and Cash at the moment are the boys.
Yeah, no, I'd agree of all of that. I think Richard Tierman has been very poor this season. I think, yeah, probably one season too many. Curtis Davis, as you say, has struggled to get going. He's had, you know, more niggly kind of injuries than he has had in more recent seasons. I think that's just going to keep holding him back. I think when James Chester comes back and fit, he'll be another good option to have in there, or could be a right back option. I agree with you, Chris. Me and Anton have said this a few times before. I'm surprised that Aduro hasn't been given more of a chance. I thought, you know, there's always trade-offs in every team. And if you can, maybe if you're a bit worried about something defensively regarding Aduro at right back, you might then gain by having Corey Smith or Jason Knight in midfield. So I'm glad he's given Jake Rooney a go. Hopefully Aduro can step up in training as well, stake a claim and get a chance, because we need all the bodies we can get. We need bodies that the management's staff trust and want to give games to, because yeah, I think jury's out as to whether we'll find what we need and what we're looking for in a January window with the restrictions we have. So I think Rooney is a big plus that he's come in, who kind of proved himself in that game, and he's now a good viable option to have. But as you say, Cash and coming back in, I imagine this week coming up with Craig Forsyth, and then we can wait to see what other bodies we get back. So in the second half, we'll talk about Liverpool and a bit of formation chat. But before the break, a quick nod to our latest exclusive podcast over on Patreon, where Chris, our usual Chris, caught up with Craig Bryson to discuss what it's like to retire from football. We also couldn't resist asking about a certain hat trick.
On behalf of all Derby fans, like, what was better? Did the winning two trophies in Scotland top the hat trick against Forest?
We never top that, will it? We never thought that, but no, I think being Scottish and growing up, you always watch the Scottish Cup final. That's like the main cup up here, obviously, just like the FA Cup down in England. But when I came back to Scotland and signed for St Johnstone, if you told me I was going to win the cup double, then I wouldn't have believed you. Obviously, the cups are usually dominated by the Old Firm up here, but it was just quite weird the way it was. But it was incredible just to win the Scottish Cup.
So if you fancy hearing the full chat with Bryso, head over to www.patreon.com/Steve Bloomers Washing to sign up, get bonus welcome gifts and help support the podcast.
It's Wilson who takes! Goodness gracious me! That is quite something! Romero rooted to the spot! As the Derby fans in a corner of Old Trafford go absolutely delirious.
Hi, I'm Mart Poom, and you are listening to Steve Bloomer's Washing.
Let's go to Anfield then, where a heroic effort with a stretched squad saw us take the holders Liverpool to penalties after a 0-0 draw. Now, unfortunately, I'm going to shamelessly name drop here and say that the reason I couldn't make it to Liverpool was because I was actually having dinner with the Prime Minister of Luxembourg, and I could have caught the end. Anton, you didn't see that one coming, did you?
No, I didn't. You've kept that one quiet.
Yeah, it was quite an interesting evening. But I could have caught the end, but surprisingly, it wasn't being shown on Lux TV. But Chris, again, you were there. Were we good value for a draw? Lucky to get to pens? Or was that late Dave McGoldrick the chance, that kind of regrettable chance to win it?
Yeah, well, you talk about limbs earlier on, and I think if he'd have headed that one in with 3 minutes to go in front of the end, that would have been the greatest limbs of all time, never to be beaten.
Yeah.
You know, I think I could have walked out of the ground and jumped in the Mersey after that and not got to another game again, and, you know, I would have been happy. But yeah, it was... we were definitely good value for the draw. I mean, you know, it's Liverpool away. You've got to ride your luck. You know, we're League One, you know, they're who they are, accepted. You know, they're their under-21s, but clearly their under-21s, as you can well imagine, you know, are no slouch. And again, because it's Klopp as well, there wasn't even the physical thing. So sometimes you see like under-21 teams and you can bully them a bit or get amongst them a bit. And they were strong, you know, and there was Joe Gomez and there was Oxlade-Chamberlain, Tsimikas and people like that. And then obviously with the... He dropped the big good boys on with 30 minutes to go. And next thing you know, Foss is marking Firmino and the things you never thought you'd say, things like that. So we were definite good value. I mean, as I said, Wildsmith was brilliant. You know, all the things you've read, I guess. Wildsmith was brilliant. Organisation was brilliant. Concentration was brilliant. The atmosphere was unreal. The away end at Liverpool was unbelievable. Yesterday took a bit to get going, I think, because it was a bigger support and it was probably a little bit more family friendly because it's a Saturday and it's MK and stuff. Where, you know, Wednesday night it was like old school ground as well, so you had a bit of a roof, so the noise was really amplified. And the atmosphere at Liverpool was unreal, but we had some good chances. I mean, second half, obviously you saw the Didsey one. Max Bird had a great chance that broke to him in the box. Dobbin had a good running on goal. But yeah, we were definitely a good value for the draw, I think. I think we obviously had a little bit of luck, but yeah, I think we more than deserved it. I thought it was tremendous performance, and it was one of those as well. Like when it went to pens, I was saying to everyone around, well, yeah, this is fine. You know, if we win, it'll be amazing. If we lose, you know, it was all glory and no death. You know, and then when we lost, we were devastated because when we went 1-0 up after the first round of pens, I thought flipping out, we're going to beat them. And then and I don't even think our pens were that bad. Even watching them back at the game, it didn't strike me they were terrible. The killer one was Hurans. I mean, the second, because we were 1-0 up and we were taking first, obviously, in front of our fans. And I think if Huran bagged his, the second pen put us 2-0 up, the pressure on the kid who came up for the second one for them would have been unbelievable. And I think we could have taken them. But that, for me, without wishing to point fingers, that was the killer one. And I say, for all the world, I thought he was going to hit it kind of with his left foot across the keeper and just sweep it into the corner. And for whatever reason, he went the other way and the keeper went right way. And that was that. But yeah, no, amazing night Wednesday. Great performance and definitely good value for the draw.
Yeah, you mentioned Harahan there. I mean, Anton, you feel for Lewis Dobbin, don't you? Because he was obviously buzzing and really up for playing against Liverpool at Anfield, of course, being on loan from Everton. I think he'd, you know, posted some social before the game, and he will be personally devastated to miss from the spot. But I think we might have expected better from someone like Conor Harahan, who is obviously such a good striker of a dead ball. Were you surprised to see him miss, Anton?
Yeah, and I mean, given his experience as well and the number of kind of big games he's played in, you wouldn't have expected the pressure to have got to him too much. You can kind of understand it a little bit more with some of the young guys who are playing at a big stadium like that for the first time. I wonder if the kind of situation definitely worked against Dobbin in terms of it being against Liverpool, which was a bit of a shame. Maybe not the best person to choose to take a penalty, but it's easy to say in hindsight, isn't it? There were a number of poor penalties actually from both sides. Wildsmith made a, I can't remember if it was one or two really good saves. He came off his line a little bit, which wasn't flagged up by the linesman, surprisingly. But you can't really complain too much about going down on penalties against Liverpool. The fact that we've picked up a result, if you put the penalties aside, against a good team like that. And although they did make changes, it was still a good team. As Chris mentioned, they had players who came off the bench. They had the likes of Gomez and Oxlade-Chamberlain on from the start. It's a bit of a statement performance for us, and it will give us confidence going into some of the bigger games in the league, the likes of Portsmouth next week. We've fared well against some of the lower teams in League One under Warne and come away with some very positive victories, but we're yet to have that statement win in League One, and the confidence that we'll gain from picking up a draw at Anfield will only help with that.
Yeah, the cup runs are a real funny one in a for a team like Derby and a club like Derby and the situation we find ourselves in terms of, we're obviously desperate to get out of League One. The league has to be the priority. We've got a small stretch squad. We've got an injury crisis. It's, you know, you kind of don't really want the extra games. You definitely wouldn't have wanted that replay against Torquay. But then you get a moment like Anfield, Chris. And yeah, we went down and we lost. And in some ways, you could say it's a blessing we're out the cup. Obviously, you would have wanted the win. But the event and the way way that they played and what they achieved by taking Liverpool to 0-0, like, you think that should stand us in good stead for the coming week. So I always find cup runs a bit of a contrast of emotions in terms of what you really want to get out of them.
Yeah, I mean, I personally hate it when we put, I mean, I understand it, but I hate it when we put weakened teams out in cup games. And but yeah, I think the Torquay replay was reasonably catastrophic, because we just could have really done without this game on Tuesday, couldn't we? But,
and we could have won it, right? We were 2-0 up.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was just completely unnecessary. And that was, I mean, and did you see they got absolutely mullered again, didn't they, yesterday? I think 5-1 by Chesterfield.
Yeah.
Especially this year with the World Cup, because I assume the next round of the Caribou won't be till the new year. So getting through that wouldn't have been a problem at all. And equally, I would say, if we end up playing Newport, well, you know, let's beat them. And then in the new year, when we've got a plethora of new faces, hopefully, be a good chance to bed them in. So I'm always like, yeah, you know, come on, let's just keep going. I mean, I do get it. I understand it. And I'm all for, you know, let's win and get through and, you know, just keep the show on the road.
So let's just end then with a little bit of general formation chat. Now, I was, Anton and Chris, help me here, because when I watched the game yesterday and we were playing four at the back, weren't we? Right, because I saw a few comments about wing back still, but we were playing. It was very much four at the back, and I believe Luis said we did a decent job at left wing back at Anfield on Wednesday as well. But we reverted back to that back four at the back on Saturday. From my view, our better performances recently have come when we're four at the back. Do we think Warne, Chris, is still keen to make 3-5-2 work? And what's your view on that, or is all the evidence pointing to four at the back being the way forward for this team, at least for the time being?
Yeah, well, I think he's a little bit hamstrung. So I think almost what he'd like to do is probably, I think at the moment he's just being practical. So, you know, obviously the Liverpool game, he's going to go in with that low block. So five at the back kind of made sense. And then yesterday, obviously, as you were saying earlier, he probably wants to get people like Mendes up as high up the pitch as he can, because he knows he can hurt them. And I think at the moment, my gut feeling is ultimately he will shift to five at the back, because it just feels like that's what he wants to do. But I think at the moment, yeah, you're exactly right. There's absolutely no question that four at the back's working better. And I think the fans like it more. And again, when you've got a player like Mendes Lang, you know, who is definitely one of the most effective players in the league, you need him where he's going to be most effective. And there's no doubt that where he's most effective is on the edge of the opposition's box in a wide position. So I think he's a little bit horses for courses, Richie, at the moment. And I can see him kind of flip-flapping a bit, depending on who's fit, who's available, maybe who the opposition are. It'd be interesting to see what he does at Portsmouth, on how much respect he gives them next Friday, whether, you know, to see what he decides to do there. But again, at the moment, and probably with this centre-back situation as well, he's probably having a little look at that as well and thinking, well, you know, if with the people we've got available, he probably thinks four's the best option. So yeah, we'll see. It'll be, as I say, I think Tuesday against Torquay, I expect him to go four and just try and blow them out of the water. And then, but Friday at Portsmouth, as I say, it'll be interesting with them being obviously one of the better teams of the league. It'll be interesting to see what he shows up with there.
Yeah, can't really disagree with any of that, really. I imagine wing backs will be the priority in January, so that Warne at least has the option of playing 3-5-2, because there will be some games where that might work better against certain opposition. But we've definitely looked more consistently strong playing four at the back in recent weeks. So at the moment, you feel like that is definitely our best formation. I don't think it's faultless, though. I mean, certainly first half yesterday, I think with the four, I mean, four, if you call it 4-2-4, the four up top didn't link up perfectly with the midfield and the back line, to be honest. I thought we lacked the kind of number 10 controlling that link-up play, and it was probably because Didzy wasn't playing, Sibley was out wide, so it was kind of very reliant on Collins, and I think that was crying out for someone dropping a little bit deeper in that number 10 role, which is where 3-5-2 can help with that kind of link-up play. But when you don't have wing-backs, you can't really play a 3-5-2. It's so reliant on those wide positions. And we need to be getting the likes of Mendes Lang further up the field. So hopefully in the majority of cases, unless it's very rare occasions, we'll stick with that four at the back for now.
Yeah, and I think Corey Smith is a really good right-back option, actually. I mean, I know we'd love to have him as an option in the midfield, and I think the main danger with that 4-4-2 or 4-2-4 or 4-3-3 at times, I think it's at times it's that, because Max Byrne and Conor Hourihan, as much as they're good footballers, and I'm a big fan of Max Byrne. It does my head in when I hear so much people give him so much abuse. But I just think we lack control in the middle sometimes when it's Byrne and Hourihan, and we can be overrun a little bit because they're not really Paul Warne's type of midfielders. I think we've seen signs from Byrne that he's starting to really understand what Paul Warne wants from him, and when he does play the ball quicker, he's a really good passer of the ball. Like we saw that ball to Mendes Lang for the goal. He's been involved. He's had quite a few assists. I imagine he's had more assists actually under Paul Warne than he did under Liam Rossini in the first half of the season so far. He set up the goal, I think, for one of the goals for Asula as well when we were at Cambridge away. Obviously set up the goal from the Nathaniel Mendes Lang. I think Max Byrne's getting there in the system. I still think him and Hourihan together in the Paul Warne system doesn't quite work. If you can get a Knight or a Smith in there as well, I think that will help. But I think Corey Smith has done a really good job at right back. So we'll end it there then. Chris, thank you very much for your debut on Steve Bloomer's Washing. Hopefully we'll have you on again soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot for inviting me. I really enjoyed it. And anytime, mate, just give me a shout.
Fantastic. And Anton, all the best.
Cheers, Gutch. Off to celebrate a successful weekend of sport.
Very successful weekend of sport. Okay, take care. See you soon.